Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. This is our first Sunday of 2018. And as we were sitting there just singing "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand," I was just, my heart's filled with joy that we can come and we can sing those words and they can be from the bottom of our hearts, that truth. Well, this morning, we start a new sermon series. We're going to be going through 1 and 2 Timothy. And this is going to be a little bit unique here. It's unique in that most of the letters of the New Testament were written to churches. But this 1 and 2 Timothy is unique in that it's one man moved along by the Holy Spirit is writing to another man. Paul is writing to Timothy, as we're going to see in these letters. And he's writing to him for a variety of reasons. In 1 Timothy, we see that Timothy has just come to the church in Ephesus. They're having some real issues there. Paul has sent Timothy to Ephesus, and right after Timothy goes there, Paul follows up with a letter to provide instruction and encouragement for Timothy to deal with some of the things that he's dealing with there. Things like warnings against false teachers, how worship should be conducted, what leadership in the church is, what qualifications they should have, things like that. And then as he writes his second letter of Timothy, which is going to come about three years after the first, Timothy is still in Ephesus. And in this letter, Paul's in prison, and he believes he's about to die. So in 2 Timothy, we're going to be seeing a man who believes death is coming for him, and he's writing his final thoughts and encouragement to a man he loves dearly, and who he's passing the baton of ministry onto. That's what we're going to see in these letters. We're going to see a variety of different topics as we go through these letters, but overall, it's like so much of the rest of the New Testament, it's gospel-focused. It's going to be gospel-focused in that because we have the gospel, this is the church that we're to be. Because we have the gospel, this is how we're to live our lives. Because we have the gospel, we're to share the gospel with others. That's the overarching theme of what we're going to see in these two letters that we're going to look at. So this morning, as we go through this first couple verses, we're just doing an introduction to 1 and 2 Timothy. And as part of this introduction, I'm going to do something I've never done before, if I can get my clicker to work. Always just needs punched. I'm going to share testimonies. We all love good testimonies. I'm going to do something, like I said, I've never done before. I'm going to share with you Paul and Timothy's testimony as best I can to give us an overview of these guys. I'm also going to talk to you about the relationship of Paul and Timothy. And then finally, we're going to talk about some application that we can take from what we're going to go over today. We're going to, again, just cover the first couple verses of 1 and 2 Timothy. Brandon, can you just skip ahead to the first and second verses there? New Life? Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, so in the first two verses of 1 Timothy, we see Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so this letter starts just like many of other Paul's letters. He starts with identifying himself as the author. He starts with who he's writing to, in this case, Timothy, and he begins with a general greeting. So as we look at this, we see that Paul is identifying himself as apostle or a messenger of Christ. And this is by God's command. He is specifically been chosen by Jesus to be a messenger of the gospel. He, along with the other apostles, are given the first responsibility in the church to take forth the good news of Jesus. And it's one of the reasons why the New Testament describes the apostles and prophets as the foundation of the church. The message that they're taking forth is foundational to the church. And we also see that he's writing to Timothy, my true child in the faith. And we're going to talk more about this as we talk about the relationship between the two. And then his greeting is grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a very gospel-centered greeting. It's just with the focus is God's given us his grace and mercy rather than his judgment that we deserve. Because of his grace and mercy, through Jesus' death on the cross, our sins can be forgiven, and we can be made right with God. And when that happens, we have peace with God, true peace. This is the introduction of this, and now I'm going to be moving to sharing the testimonies of Paul and Timothy. I've taken this directly from Scripture, as closely as I can. Some things I've filled in following principles of Scripture, but I think we're going to be blessed by these two testimonies, starting with Paul. My birth name was Saul, a common name among my people. Later, more people would know me as Paul, my Roman name. I was born a few years after Jesus' birth in a town called Tarsus. It's a large city located in what you would know as the country of Turkey. My father was a tent maker, and it's a trade that he taught me as well. My father was also a Roman citizen, and as such, I was born a Roman citizen. And a Roman citizen just means that you have certain things that you're given because of that citizenship. It brings certain rights. With it, I have the right to vote and to own property and not to have to pay certain taxes and the right to a legal trial if I encounter any trouble. I'm also protected as a Roman citizen. As a Roman citizen, I cannot be tortured or flogged or crucified. My siblings and I were born into a Jewish family that took their beliefs very seriously. We were always at synagogue, and we always practiced the Old Testament laws very faithfully. We were from the tribe of Benjamin, something I was very proud of, because the Benjamins and the Judas, those two tribes were the only two of the 12 tribes that did not fall away from the Old Testament law. My family saw that I was properly educated. This included sending me to Jerusalem when I was young. I was taught under the best rabbis, even Gamaliel, who was known as the greatest rabbi of his time. My heritage and my training instilled in me great pride in my Jewish beliefs. As I grew older, I grew in passion to follow the law. This is why I became a Pharisee. I believed that because I was born a Jew, and because I followed the Old Testament law, this made me right with God, and I deserved all the blessings that he would give to me. When I was about 25 years old, we began to hear of this man called Jesus. He did some amazing, even miraculous things. And our hope was that this would be the Messiah. But we soon learned that he was an imposter. And this was confirmed by the fact that he was crucified. At least that's what I thought at the time. Later, after this Jesus died, some of his followers began to spread his teachings. At first, it was just a handful of them, but then it continued to grow. And one day, this man, Stephen, was taken before the Sanhedrin, and I was present, and I witnessed this. And he started out being very, very appropriate. He started out by sharing the history of our people. But as he continued to share, he looked at us and called us stiff-necked, and that we had uncircumcised hearts. And then he said, we killed the Messiah. We were outraged by this. So we took this Stephen and we dragged him out and we began to stone him. I didn't actually cast any of the stones, but I was there surely encouraging those who were doing that. Because of this, I undertook to destroy anyone who claimed to be a follower of Jesus. I went to the high priest himself and got letters in which I could round people up who were blaspheming against our Jewish beliefs. And I was really good at it. I had a reputation with my own people and also with the Jewish followers, or with these Jesus followers. They were afraid of me. Then one day, as I was just outside of Damascus, going there to continue my work, a great light flashed around me, and I fell to the ground. And I heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And in fear and trembling, I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And he told me to go into the city. And those with me had to lead me in because I was blinded. And for 3 days, I didn't eat anything or drink anything. I just sat there. I was haunted by those words, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" I was afraid of what was going to happen to me. I just prayed and I asked God to forgive me. I realized Stephen was right and that I had been living a lie. I thought I was serving God, and yet I was persecuting God. But in a dream, in a vision, God told me that a man was going to come to me and was going to help me to see again. And 3 days after I went, I was blinded, a man named Ananias came to me, and he placed his hands on me, and he said to me, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." It was amazing. Not just because I could see again, but I was filled with peace and joy. And my life was never the same after that. Immediately, I began to witness for Jesus. Those who just a short time earlier that I was working with to destroy Christians, they were now trying to kill me. And so some of the believers put me in a basket and lowered me through a hole in the wall, and I escaped Damascus. Later, I went to Jerusalem and visited the believers there. But most of them didn't believe what happened to me. I don't blame them. Eventually, I ran into a man named Barnabas who did believe me. And he took me to the apostles and he shared with them my story. Jesus made me one of his apostles, one of his personal messengers. I know that I don't deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace has not been without effect in my life. I've tried to make the most of the opportunities he's given to me. I've spent more than 30 years now trying to fulfill the calling Jesus has placed upon my life to be his messenger. I've shared the good news of Jesus Christ with thousands and thousands, and I have seen many also come to faith in Christ and have their life transformed. The Lord has blessed me with being able to also write things about him and his will for us that will carry on for generations to come. It's not been an easy task. I've faced great persecution from the Romans, from the Jews, and even from those who call themselves Jesus followers. I've been called every name you could possibly think of. I've also been physically persecuted in that I've suffered by flogging, by being stoned and left for dead, by being imprisoned several times, beaten with rods, experienced hunger and thirst, as well as cold and nakedness in serving the Lord. Yet through all of these things, I've worked to remain faithful to the Lord, and he has blessed me abundantly. Through all of this, he has helped me to become content in every situation I find myself in, because I have learned I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. This has been a difficult life. But if God were to give me 1,000 more lives, I would ask and wish that I could live every one of them in greater service to the Lord than I have lived this one. Even while I write this second letter of Timothy, I'm imprisoned. And unless something changes, I'm going to be martyred for my faith. Still, I remain content. I know my sufferings are all temporary. And before I know it, I'm going to be home with the Lord. And he is going to place on my head a crown of righteousness. And he is going to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servants." That's Paul's testimony. And tradition has it that shortly after he wrote the second letter of Timothy, that he was martyred for his faith, that he was beheaded in Rome in the late 60s as persecution of the Christians broke out there. On to Timothy's testimony. My name is Timothy. It's a name that means honoring God. I was born around the time of Jesus' death on the cross, though I would not hear of him for many years after that. My hometown is Lystra. It's a small city located also in what you would know as the country of Turkey. I grew up in a home in which Dad was a pagan. He didn't believe in the Jewish things or in Christianity. Thankfully, in the culture that I was raised in, we followed our mother's religion. So I was raised as a Jew. Both my mom and my grandmother were Jews that taught me the ways of God through the Old Testament scriptures since I was a baby. I was thankful for my Jewish upbringing, but it seemed that something was missing. I just felt like there should be something more in my life. When I was a teenager, my grandmother and my mother came to faith in Jesus Christ. It occurred when some men came to our city and was sharing about this man named Jesus, and they were sharing about a gift that he came to provide. One of those men was the Apostle Paul. I didn't meet him at that time, but he came and he shared. He even healed a man in our city that was born crippled, and boy, did that stir things up. After Paul did that, there was another man with him named Barnabas, and the people of our city thought they were gods because they healed this man, and they began to worship them. But Paul and Barnabas shouted at them not to do that because they were just men themselves. Then some people from outside of our city came and started saying things about Paul and Barnabas, and it stirred the people up. And eventually they dragged Paul outside of the city, and they stoned him. And they believed he was dead, but he wasn't. In fact, he got back up and he went right back into our city. And he met with the believers there. And the next day, he and Barnabas left to continue their missionary work. Sometime after that, my mother and my grandmother shared with me about this Jesus. And through them, I also was able to come to faith in Christ. And since coming to faith in Christ, I immediately became active in our church in Lystra. And I was able to be a blessing to the church, and I was able to be blessed by them. And a few years after Paul's first visit to Lystra, he came back again. And he wanted to see how we were doing. He wanted to encourage us. And this time, I was able to meet and talk with Paul. And because of the testimony of brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul invited me to continue on his mission trip with him. And I prayed about it, and I sensed God calling me to do that. And I agreed. And Paul and the elders of our church laid their hands upon me, and they prayed for me and the gifts and the ministry that God was going to give to me. And since that time, I left my home and my family and everything I had, and I've been ministering for the Lord. This has been more than 15 years now since I've done this. I've been ministering with Paul either directly or indirectly. And at the time Paul writes this letter, again, that this first letter of Timothy, I'm in Ephesus, and I am helping to lead the church there, even though I'm still very young. Following Jesus and serving him has been an amazing adventure, and I have been blessed more than any man deserves to be blessed. But I have to admit, it has not been easy. Ministry has been very difficult at times, and this has been compounded in my life for a variety of reasons. Again, one of those reasons is I'm still very young. When I first came to faith in Christ, I was only about 20 years old. That's when I went with Paul on his missionary journey. So now I'm only in my mid-30s, and I'm being called to be a leader in the church. And for some people, that's hard for them to accept the authority that God has given to me. I also have problems sometimes with sickness, and it causes me to become discouraged. And finally, my personality is not like Paul's. I'm more an introvert, and I'm more timid than I should be at times. But I continue to try to persevere in my faith and in the work that the Lord has given to me. I am encouraged to know that there has been many godly men that have come before me, including Abraham and Moses and Jeremiah, who were also sometimes more timid in their faith than they probably should have been. I thank you. I'm thankful that God is gracious, and I'm attempting to continue to be faithful to him. This is Timothy's testimony. We see in Hebrews 13:23 that a Timothy is mentioned as being released from prison. It is probably the same Timothy talked about here. Tradition has it that Timothy was martyred for his faith when he was 80 years old, still leading the church in Ephesus. And if that tradition is true, it means that Timothy was still being faithful 45 years after Paul wrote his final letter to him. Those are the testimonies of Paul and Timothy to give us an overview of their lives as we go into this study of 1 and 2 Timothy. I also want to share with you some things about their relationship so that you can see how they are intertwined together and how this intertwining takes place within 1 and 2 Timothy. So I'm going to give you some of the major events that happened in their life and also a time frame for that to give us an overview of things. So here we begin with Paul's birth in Tarsus again, probably around AD 5, 5 years after Jesus' birth. These are approximate dates. They aren't going to be perfect, but they're going to be very near when these things actually happened. Timothy's birth in Lystra is around 30 AD. So Timothy was about 25 years older than Paul, or younger than Paul. Paul's conversion took place in around 34 AD. So this means that Paul came to faith in Christ within a few years of Jesus dying on the cross. His first missionary journey took place in 46 to 48 AD. This is part of the journey where he went through Lystra for the first time and where Timothy's mother and grandmother likely came to faith in Christ. Timothy's conversion took place sometime after Paul left Lystra during this first missionary journey, so somewhere around 47 AD. The second missionary journey occurred 49 to 52 AD. This early in this missionary journey is when Paul would have came back to Lystra to encourage the church there and would have invited Timothy to come with him. And then Timothy does come with him and spends most of the time with Paul during the second missionary journey. Timothy also joined Paul on his third missionary journey that took place 53 to 57 AD. During this missionary journey, Paul and Timothy spends 2.5 to 3 years in Ephesus encouraging the church there. So there's a very close connection to Paul and Timothy and to this church in Ephesus. Paul is imprisoned after that, from about 59 to 62 AD. If you remember our study of Philippians, he wrote the letter of Philippians while he was under house arrest in Rome. It's also when he wrote the letter of Ephesians during this time. Paul was released, and then within a few years of that time being released from prison, Paul gets word that things aren't going well in Ephesus, that there's some false teachers there creating problems, so he decides to send Timothy to Ephesus to help with what's going on there. Shortly after sending Timothy, he writes 1 Timothy to help Timothy with instructions as to what he should do. Then Paul is again imprisoned, and this time he writes 2 Timothy, which would have been somewhere around 67 AD. And then finally, Paul's death, at least from a traditional standpoint, occurred in approximately 68 AD. That's just an overview of some of the ministry and timeline of things, how Paul and Timothy's life was intertwined, and how, again, this church in Ephesus winds into all of this as well, and we'll talk more about that. So again, Paul and Timothy spend about 15 years together, either directly involved in ministry or indirectly, and they grew very close to each other. They grew to support one another in some really wonderful way. Paul writes of Timothy, calls him his beloved and faithful child in the Lord in 1 Corinthians 4:17. And in Philippians 2:20, he says, I have no one like him. That's how Paul saw Timothy. And Paul and Timothy's relationship initially would have been, Paul would have been Timothy's mentor. Because Timothy was only brand new in his faith when he started going on. He had only been a Christian for maybe a year or two before he joined Paul on his missionary journey. So Paul was his mentor. That's what was going on early on. But as time went on, they became more peers in their work together. And we see this in verses like 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Timothy, our brother and God's servant in the gospel. Here, Paul is referring to Timothy as his brother, more of a peer in the missionary work that they've been called to do. As he writes 1 Timothy, he opens with, Timothy, my true child in the faith, verse what we referred to earlier. And he calls him my child in the faith as a way of kind of showing his affection for Timothy. But there's much more going on than just that. Timothy, my true child in the faith, is also making the point that Paul is an apostle, one of the few apostles chosen by God, by Jesus himself. And Paul sees Timothy as the spiritual son of an apostle. And can you see what this would do to the churches? This would help to provide Timothy with authority in those churches as he works to lead there. We see this brought out as well in Philippians 2:22. But you know, Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You see what Paul's doing there? He's really trying to lift Timothy up and show his readers, these believers, hey, this Timothy has shown himself. He is the son of an apostle. So if he's sharing things with you, you need to listen to him. That's the point that Paul's trying to make. So as Paul, again, writes 1 and 2 Timothy, Timothy is in Ephesus helping to lead the church there. That's what we're going to see as we go forth in our study of 1 and 2 Timothy. So I want to just wrap things up today with taking a little time and talking about what application is there for us in all of this. Well, I think for all of us, when we hear somebody's testimony, there's always application. When we hear how God has worked in a person's life and how they have responded to God's work, it's always a form of encouragement to us and should spur us on in our faith. And that is the same for us this morning. As we have heard Paul and Timothy's testimony, it should be encouragement to us to serve God as well. Now, we may not be sent out as missionaries, but every one of us who has faith in Jesus Christ is a minister. And every one of us should be using the gifts and talents God has given to us to serve the Lord. And that service might be in loving your spouse or your kids or your brothers and sisters in Christ or serving your neighbor or your coworker or a friend or an extended family or a stranger in some way. All of it, all of us will, that will look different for every one of us, but all of us should be ministering. So one of the questions for us this morning is Jesus the Lord of our life? And if we can answer yes to that, which I hope we all can, then we need to ask ourselves the next question. What does my Lord or Master want me to do in serving him by serving others? Just a simple question. But how often do we forget to not ask that question? The simple question, Lord, my Master, do you have something for me to do? Just having that attitude, looking around and seeing where there might be a need for us to come alongside and serve. So, again, I have nothing specific in mind, just an encouragement for every one of us to be faithful in responding as the Lord wants us to. Okay, the last thing I want to mention in this is just this whole idea of this relationship with Paul and Timothy. So the final application for us is a question again. Do you have Paul's or Timothy's in your life? And by Paul's, I mean people that are spiritually mature, that will encourage you on in your faith. I've been very blessed to have Paul's in my life. The first Paul I had in my life was a man called Dale Linewall. Most of you don't know him. He was a pastor at Grace. When I came to faith in Christ, he was my first pastor. And I can remember going to church and hearing the Word of God preached and thinking, how does this guy know me? He wrote this sermon for me. I believe that. They had invited us over for their house for lunch one day, and I went to church a few weeks later, and he's preaching, and it's like he wrote this message for me. That was just God's working. Dale was just a faithful servant of the Lord, but he was a Paul in my life. John Reed was a Paul in my life. So was Steve Howe. These were Pauls, and I had many other Pauls. And I got the privilege of spending some one-on-one time with these guys. But mostly it was just placing myself under them. It was placing myself under their preaching and placing myself under their teaching in Bible studies and just observing their lives and seeing how they responded to life and following their examples. That's how they were Paul's to me, and they helped me grow in my faith. Do you have Paul's in your life? And for you ladies, do you have godly women in your life that are being an encouragement and spurring you on in your faith? So that's the first part of this question. Do you have Paul's in your life? Secondly, do you have Timothy's in your life? If you've been a Christian for a time, you are further along in your faith and you are able to help others in their faith. Are you doing that? Are you open to that? I've had many Timothys in my life. Jed is a Timothy in my life who has grown to become a Paul. He's a co-worker and a peer in ministry. But God had given me the privilege of being in Bible studies that Jed was a part of. And I got to see Jed come to faith in Christ and grow in Christ. And that was all the Lord's doing. He just allowed me to play a role in that and in others as well. Right now, I'm meeting with three men, and we're doing this discipleship guide thing together, following Jesus' discipleship guide. All it is some key biblical truths, things like salvation and prayer and loving God and loving others. Just some key truths of the Bible. There's 12 lessons on some different key truths. And then there's just each week we read 7 chapters of the Bible. And we come together and talk. And we'll talk about what we read. We'll talk about our lesson. Sometimes when we get together, we don't even talk about any of that stuff. We just talk about what God wants us to talk about that day. It just provides opportunity for time to interact with another brother in Christ for me. It's a great blessing. I believe these men who I'm meeting with right now are blessed, but I'm blessed too. I'm able to bless them because I'm further along in my faith journey than they are. But they're blessing me because I get to see that enthusiasm and that hunger for the Word of God and things like that that really encourage me. So my question to all of us this morning, do you have Timothys in your life? Are you open to sharing with others? And, you know, to be a Paul, you don't have to have all the answers. None of us have all the answers. We can be a Paul if we're 3 steps ahead of the person behind us to help them take those 3 steps. So I want to just encourage you, don't think you got to have all the answers and everything figured out. We just have to be humble before the Lord and just trying to do what he wants us to do and try to help others to do that as well. So I just encourage you, again, this is just about serving the Lord in whatever way he would want you to serve him by serving others. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the blessing that it brings to us. We thank you, Lord, for how it helps us to grow. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't just save us, but you brought us into your family and you want us to live rich and abundant lives. And you've given us gifts to help us to do that. You've given us your word. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us the church family to help us grow and that we can help others grow as well. Lord, we just pray you'll help us to be faithful in the ways that you desire us to be faithful, that we would just, Lord, be sensitive to your leading and responsive to your call, knowing that you are the King of Kings and we are your children. And because of that, we are abundantly blessed and we are powerful to serve in ways that go far beyond any abilities that we have on our own. Through your Holy Spirit, through your word, Lord, you can use us in amazing and even miraculous ways if we're just open to you. Help us, Lord, to be open and surrendered and be used of you, that your name might be magnified and glorified even in greater ways. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we receive through that and how we're able to bless others. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.